Today I want us to be looking at Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. The title of the day's message will just be Cain and Abel. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth or angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Now we come to see Adam and Eve after that God had driven them out of the garden, and now that they begin to have children. Before the fall, they had no children, but after the fall, they had many children. If you're reading the scriptures, I think that Adam lived to be like 900 and some years old, and during that time, they had a lot of children. But here, we're only going to look at two. These two men are examples. These are men. They're not young men. They're not boys. They are men. They've come of age, and this chapter, these verses deal primarily with worshiping of God. Both these boys are going to worship God. This is what we're going to try to look at today. And that he can only be worshiped by faith in a blood sacrifice. In Genesis 3, we saw the entrance of sin into this world. Here we see the process or the progress of sin and its fruit in these two men. In Genesis 3, we saw sin against God. Here we see it also against man. And the person or the man who has no fear of God, as Cain didn't, who has no fear of God, has no regard for his neighbor or for his brother. In Genesis 3, we read about the enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And here we see in these two sons, Cain and Abel, that enmity between these two men. Today I want to primarily be looking at four things. I want us to look at these two men individually. How did they approach God? How were they received when they approached God? And what was the outcome as they came to God? These two men, Cain and Abel, they were brothers, born of the same parents, born in the same home, raised in the same environment, and both of these boys had the same gospel preached to both of them. And both of them had a fallen, depraved nature. They both received their nature from their father and from their mother. And now here it talks about these two boys coming. Now, let's look first at Cain. Because it first says, list him first. When Cain was born, Eve said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. He was the firstborn male. And his name means, you need to notice when you read the scriptures that these names are not just insignificant. They have meanings. So his name means to strike suddenly, swiftly, or to inquire. What Eve was actually saying, now remember God had made the promise to her and promised to Adam that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And when she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord, what she was actually saying, I've gotten the man from the Lord. She thought, well, this would be the one that was to come. Her firstborn son that would come and redeem his people. She thought that this man, Cain, would be the one that God would use to redeem his people. And that God would strike quickly. She thought that he was the coming redeemer. And she thought that this man, Cain, this is who he was. I want you to think about this. knowing human nature, knowing fallen nature. And as Eve misunderstood this, but she thought this was the man. This is him. I can see Eve her whole life pampering this man, this young boy, all the way through his childhood, even into adulthood. She was probably told him that he was pretty special. And I can see him being a handsome son, it doesn't say, but he was probably a man's man. He probably stuck out among men, and he probably, in the family, everybody looked to him. Everybody looked to Cain. This is who Cain was. This is who he was. But then we see Abel. His name means emptiness, or vanity, or just unimportant. He was just an extra son, or just another son. Abel was a son, but he was just insignificant. But God had his eye, what I want you to see here, we see in these verses, God had his eye on the weaker vessel. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God doesn't see things as we see them. He thought, well, this is the man. This is the one. But Abel, insignificant. Here we see, though, as God said out all through the scriptures, here we see in these verses how that God had respect to Abel and his offering and not to Cain. Here God set a precedent all the way through the scriptures that the older boy would serve the younger boy. That the purpose of God according to election might stand. You remember the story of Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, the younger boy. Esau have I hated, the older boy. God chose Joseph over all his other brothers. God singled him out. And that's what we see here pictured in these two men. These men are pictures. God holds them up as pictures. So let's think about that. Secondly, how did they approach God? And if you'll notice in verse 3, it said that in the process of time, there is a process of time. This is God's time. It said that when, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, it said when the fullness of time was come, Christ came into the world. It says in Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Time is not permanent. There'll be a time when time is no more. But here it says, in the process of time, this was the time of grace. This was the time that Cain was to approach Almighty God and to come and worship God. This time, in the process of time, and you notice that in the process of time, it came to pass. And it always will. Why? Because God rules over all things. What's happening here is no accident. God is arranging all this. God is in control of all this. It wasn't an accident. This time here was fixed by Almighty God. And there is a time, now listen to me, there is a time when man is confronted with God. And how will he react to the light that he has from God? The providence of God had brought him to this place. This time and this place of worship in the process of time. In the process of time. Remember that. God controls it all. And he's bringing it to pass in his own time. His time. So let's look first again at Cain. How did he approach God? It said here that in the process of time that Cain brought of the fruits of the ground an offering to the Lord. Cain was not an ignorant man. Cain was a religious man. What I want you to think about, and think about this, that Cain had been taught the gospel, just like Abel had, by his father Adam. You say, well, how did Adam teach him the gospel? God taught him the gospel. God taught him the gospel when he said the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And he also taught him the gospel when he took an animal and shed blood and took skins and took the skins from those animals and covered their nakedness, showing that only a man can be redeemed by the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And the only way God can be approached is by a perfect, holy sacrifice. He had been taught this. But how did he approach God? I see Cain as he goes and he gathers together his offering that he's going to bring. He sees the things that he had brought about, the works of his own hands. He thought, well, this is the works of my hand. This is the best I can produce, and this is the best I have produced, and surely God would be accepted with this sacrifice. Now, that's what he thought. I believe that he went out and found the best that he had. Now, that's just my opinion. But Cain is acting, listen to me, from a depraved mind. This is what he thinks. This is not how he had been instructed, but this is what he thinks. He thinks, I think this will be good enough. The problem is that he thought. He is acting from feelings. He had been told all of his life that he was special and that his best would be good enough. Doesn't that sound familiar today? Man's been told that he's good and his good enough is good enough, but it's not. And surely he thought that if man approves of it, then God will approve of it. That's what he thought. That's what I see here. He brought the fruit of the ground. What was the ground? The ground was cursed. God put a curse on the ground. And what came from the ground was cursed also. Just like those fig leaves. Those fig leaves came from that fig that was cursed. God pronounced a curse on it. Cain was looking to himself. His eye was not to Christ. His eye was to himself and what he could do. This is what we see, how this man, Cain, approached God. So let's look at Abel, his brother. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, verse 4, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. He brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. What does this say? I believe he had a flock of sheep. I believe he brought a lamb, because we see that all the way through the scriptures. We see it in the book of Exodus. When they came out of Egypt, they was to take a lamb of the first year without blemish, without spot, without, didn't have a broken leg, didn't have anything wrong with it. It was the best that there was. And he was to bring that lamb and sacrifice that lamb. And he said he brought the firstlings. Well, why did Abel do this and Cain not? We'll see that in a minute. But this is how Abel comes to God, how he approaches God. You know what I see here? Abel's coming to God as a sinner. He realizes that he's a sinner and that the only way he can approach God is through a blood sacrifice, through a mediator. Abel, now listen, it said God had respect or accepted his offering. Abel was accepted not on his faith or his sacrifice. Listen, faith doesn't save. Christ saves. You could shed all the blood that was ever shed in the Old Testament and it could never take away one sin. So it was not the faith or the sacrifice. It was his sacrifice. It wasn't his sacrifice or his faith, but it was witness that God testified that he was righteous because of the one that he had looked to. He had looked to the sacrifice that would come. In the world's eyes, Abel was the least of the two men. He probably, I believe, was despised by his brother. His brother probably looked down on him. But Abel brought the firstlings of his flock, a lamb without blemish, perfect. Why? This is what God prescribed. You said, how did he know to do this? How did he know to do this? He had to be taught. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He brings a living sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. His father Adam told him. His father Adam instructed him. How did he instruct him? He instructed him by example and by experience. Adam had experienced what it was like to sew fig leaves together to try to cover his nakedness. He knew what that was like. And God set an example with Adam when he took off those fig leaves and made him aprons and covered his nakedness. He taught his sons. He instructed his sons. And God gave Abel faith to believe what his father said. Both these boys heard the gospel. Both of them heard it. Both of them lived in the same home. It says in Hebrews 4 verse 2, talking about the nation of Israel and how that they rebelled against God. And he said, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Cain had no faith. You said, how do you know that? Well, if Cain had believed God, he'd brought the right sacrifice. He'd approached God the right way. The reason I know that people don't believe God today is where they try to approach God. They try to come on their own efforts, on who they are. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it throws some light on these verses. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness. Witness from who? He obtained witness from God that he was righteous. What does it mean to be righteous? It means to be righteous, holy, acceptable in the sight of God. God said, God witnessed to him, said he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaks. Abel was the first man to ever die upon this earth. The first man to ever die. And he still speaks. Abel still preaches to us that we are accepted unto God by what Christ has done, not by what we do. He being dead, he still speaks. He still speaks to us. So how did these two men approach God? Something I want you to notice. These two men, as I've already mentioned, they were born in the same household. Had the same parents. The only difference I see physically that we have recorded here in the scripture, one was a little older. What made the difference between these two men? What made the difference between Cain and Abel? Was it that Abel was just a little bit smarter? Was it he just a little wiser? Did he just happen to figure everything out? No, that's not the case. That's not the case. What made the difference between these two men? And I'll tell you, it was grace. Grace made the difference. It was not that Abel was naturally wiser or naturally smarter. One was looking to the works of his own hands, and one was looking to the work of another that would perform that work. One was looking to himself. One was looking to the Lamb of God that God would provide that would take away the sin of the world. That's who he's looking to. One believed God, and the other did not. It wasn't that he just believed his daddy. It ain't that Abel believed Adam. He believed God. It says that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. How were they received? So we see the two men. We see how that they approached God. But how were these two men received? I'm going to look at Abel first. It says that God had respect to Abel and to his offering. That respect, as I've already said, means to be perfect. It means to be acceptable. In Leviticus, it says it shall be perfect to be accepted. It's got to be perfect to be accepted. Now think about that for a minute. You think you're approaching God, and you're going to bring something to God that's got to be perfect. It's got to be perfect or God won't accept it. You said, why is that? Because God's a perfect God. God's a holy God. God can't accept anything less than who he is. And he said, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Because Abel looked to Christ, God accepted him. Listen, God looked at his sacrifice with a smiling countenance. He took and expressed delight and satisfaction in what he did. He first accepted of his person and considered in Christ his well-beloved son. That's how God accepted him. And then his offering in virtue of his sacrifice. And in this respect and acceptance might be signified by some visible sign. To show that God accepted that sacrifice, God could have spoken in an audible voice. We don't know what he did. But I know other places in the scriptures when the sacrifice was placed on the altar in the time of Elijah, God came down in fire and devoured the sacrifice. God devoured the sacrifice. We don't know how he did it, but God testified to what Abel did, that God accepted what he did. God accepted it. Now that's amazing, that God accepted it. God received his offering, this sacrifice, this firstling of the lambs that he brought. He received it because it looked to the Lord Jesus Christ, like when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." It's looking to Christ. That's what salvation is. Short and simple, simple and plain. Salvation is looking to Jesus Christ alone. That's simple. But unto Cain and to his offering, it said God had no respect. Verse 5. God didn't receive it. It ain't that God just didn't say, well, it's just not as good as Abel's. If y'all want to say it as plain as I can say it, God spit on it. God stubbed his nose at it. And God said, it is unacceptable. The Bible, in other places of scriptures, it calls it filthy rags. That's because this was Cain. He thought this was his righteousness. This is how he thought he could obtain a right standing with God. And God spit on his sacrifice. He had no respect for it. It wasn't accepted at all. This offering that Cain brought was his pretended righteousness. This is what he brought. He thought that God just ought to receive it. And it was the best he could bring. And God called it filthy rags. He couldn't stand it. And I want you to see the last point. How did they respond? What was the outcome? Now you imagine Cain. Now think with me for a minute. He brings his offering. He says, well, it's the best I can bring. It's the best efforts. God just ought to receive it, hadn't he? No, he didn't. So what happened? It says Cain was wroth. Cain was angry. Cain got mad. And these two men, Cain and Abel, we see the two religions in this world. And remember, there's only two, grace and works. You either try to approach God based on your efforts, based on your resolutions, based on whatever you want to call a good work. God calls it filthy rags. Paul called it dung. Well, you come to God by grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor to an undeserving sinner. Cain believed. And all fallen men, he believed like all fallen men do until they're saved by the grace of God. That their acceptance with God is based upon the works of their hands. Cain believed that man must do his part. Cain despised God's grace and anybody else who did believe in God's grace. The gospel offended his pride. The scriptures talk about the offense of the cross. You know what? It offended him. You ever been offended? Cain was offended that God didn't accept his sacrifice. It offended him. Made him angry. This was more than he could stand. And this is what happens today if people ever hear the truth about the gospel of God's free grace. They can't stand it. Because the majority of people that we live in the world today, I don't care what brand it is, what name you want to put on it, what denomination it is, whatever it is, it's either grace or works. Whatever it is. Two types. We see it here in these two men. The Lord Jesus Christ came back to his hometown one day, and they asked him to stand up and preach. Now, these are people that had been raised with Jesus there in Nazareth. And when he preached to them about there was many widows in Israel, the time of Elijah the prophet, and God didn't send Elijah to any of those widows, but to that one widow who was a Gentile, he preached to them election. He preached to them salvation by sovereign grace. And he said when he preached that, they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they may cast him off headlong. They meant to kill him. He said, why would those people want to kill the Lord Jesus Christ? Because they were basing their salvation on works, on what they did. Abel here was the very first martyr who died for believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. Do you not see here the enmity, the hatred between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent? They cannot mix. They cannot mix. They're eternities apart. It says, but as then he that was born after the flesh, talking about Cain, referring to Cain, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so is it now. And Cain, it said, talked with Abel, his brother, verse 8. We don't know what they talked about, but I believe Cain probably had some questions to ask his brother. Why didn't God accept my sacrifice? My sacrifice was just as good as yours. And Cain talked with his brother Abel, and it came to pass, verse 8, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him, killed him. Abel's death represented the death of Christ himself, like his Redeemer, like the Lord Jesus Christ. Abel was murdered by this religious world. The Pharisees and the scribes and all those religious people who thought that God ought to receive what they did, and he exposed their sin for what it is, and it made them angry. And this enmity is still there today. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Why did he kill his brother? Here's the answer. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. That's what it was over. Grace and works. And marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. This world is under the spirit of Antichrist already now. Antichrist. They're not for Christ, they're against Christ. Whatever religion that it is, we see it here, it's either a Cain religion or a fable of faith. And Abel still preaches. He's still speaking that it's by grace. In there's only one chapter, chapter 1, verse 11, he says, woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain. What is the way of Cain? The way of Cain is the way of works confusion. It's the way of no peace and rest. It's the way of endless wandering. What did he do? If you read on later on in the chapter, it says he went to the land of Nod, which means wandering. He never found rest. That's what the way of Cain is. That's the way of works religion. The way of Abel is the way of grace. It's the way of blood redemption. It's the way of faith. And this is the way. This way is that which is persecuted and hated. And it's hated especially by the religious world of this day. My question to you is, which way will you take? Will you try to come to God like Cain did and be rejected? Or will you come like Abel did, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ as your substitute and as your righteousness? Till next week at the same time, may God bless you.